And I'm joined by singer-songwriter Amity. His new release, Bite Me, is out on the 21st of February. And he is the Royal Albert Hall's official future music artist and the winner of the RBE Musical Excellent Awards. He's also ASBO, ASBO Magazine's One to Watch, and a resident artist at Soho's iconic Spice of Life, selling out shows from London to Durham in 2024 and gracing the stages at The Great Escape, Brighton Pride, and Fabuloso in the Park and the Royal Albert Hall itself. He's now preparing to launch his debut EP with a solo show at the Royal Albert Hall this July 15th. And I'm joined by Amity. Good morning.
Good morning.
That is a fantastic... I wish I had an intro like that. Fabulous. Lovely to finally talk to you. So for you, Amity, what's your earliest musical memory?
Oh my goodness, that's a really tough one, because I remember that the earliest time I ever started writing music was when I was 9. I wrote my first song in a restaurant on the back of a napkin in crayon. But my earliest musical memory is, I don't even remember, because I've been surrounded by music my entire life. I've grown up in a very musical household where we're constantly listening to music, and you know, my parents love musicals, and, you know, we've always been that kind of household that's like constantly singing. We've got music over dinner. It's just a wonderful environment to be in. And I think it's really lovely to just be surrounded by music, which is just something so healing.
And obviously destiny as well. When did you discover your voice? Because you also play piano. So did the piano come first, or did the voice come first?
Well, like I said, I've been, you know, surrounded by music for as long as I can remember. And I think the singing just came with it, because I would always sing along to songs that I remembered the words to and the tune. But when, in terms of lessons, I started taking piano lessons first, I believe, because that started when I was around 5, and then singing lessons came when I was about 6. So I started learning piano first, before I started like doing proper singing lessons, but singing has always been a huge part of my life, and I'm really happy that it has been.
Who would you say are your influences, besides growing up in a musical household with your parents, but who outside of that has influenced your music?
Ooh, that's a really difficult question, actually, because it's not really influences from other artists that I find influence my music. It's influence from my experiences and my life and my drive to you know, create hope and strength and help people find, you know, the connection within themselves to that strength that is there. 'Cause I find that when I write music, it's not just for me, it's for anyone like me and anyone who is struggling, so anyone who needs to hear it. And I want that music to be a beacon of hope. I want it to help them find the strength within them to really find that hope. And yeah.
When you put a song together, I know you wrote your first one when you were 9, which is incredible. But when you put a song together, are you always coming up with melodies in your head? Do you record it into your phone? Are you sat at the keyboard? Are you writing lyrics down continually? Or is it different every time songs come to you?
Well, it is different every time, but I usually do have like a sort of process. It's not one that I keep in mind when I'm writing a song. It just tends to happen naturally, because when I'm writing, I've been told actually that I write songs backwards by a lot of people, because I've discovered that most people, or at least most people that I've connected with, actually write songs starting with melodies or chords. And I write songs starting with lyrics, and if I'm in the zone enough, those lyrics will have a melody already accompanying them, and I don't need to like come up with one. It's just there, because the words and the meanings, they have a tune to me, and I don't really know why it happens, but I'm really glad that it does. But I usually start with lyrics when I'm writing, and I come up with chords based on the melody that accompanies them. And I also, when I'm coming up with lyrics, sometimes will need to do research into the topic that I'm writing about or that I'm using as a metaphor. And so when that happens, I kind of go on like these little deep dives and tangents, and I do a lot of research into them, and that's where my songwriting book comes in handy. I take it pretty much everywhere with me. It's always in my bag. And what happens is I start writing these little mind maps, and I take a central idea, and I put it in the middle, and then I start branching out my thoughts, because it's really helpful to be able to see how my thoughts have connected from one point to another, because oftentimes I'll find that the central idea is actually really far away from what the direction that the song actually goes in, but it's still connected, and I like to show how I got there, and it also helps me get there in the song. So it's really, really helpful to be able to do that, and also to look back at my creative process. It's really, really nice. It actually reminds me, because I tend to write songs in quite strange places. So, for example, I wrote City of Stars, which is one of my favourites. I wrote it during my physics GCSE, and I don't mean like during revision or during, you know, the time when I was supposed to be like waiting for the exam. I mean during the actual exam. Because I finished the exam about an hour early, spent 20 minutes spiraling, and then spent the last 40 minutes writing a song and asking the invigilator if I could write it down anywhere. And of course, the answer was no, because it wasn't related to the exam. So I had to keep it all in my head until I finally got out. And I ran straight to the music rooms at school and just wrote everything down. And City of Stars was born.
That is amazing. I asked lots of my music guests this, and I think only about one person's ever said, no, doesn't happen to me. So I wondered if this happens to you. Do you ever feel a song is gifted to you from the universe because it comes through so quickly? It's almost like you didn't write it.
Absolutely. I mean, I don't know if you've ever heard Matilda the musical, but it feels a bit like that, because there's a line in one of the songs there that's stories delivered to me fully written, and it just feels like that sometimes. It feels like you feel it coming on and it just flows. It's like magic, and it feels just absolutely amazing to be so in tune with like something that you're creating. It feels absolutely divine.
I don't know if you're still doing this or whether this was last year, but you were artist in residence at Soho's iconic Spice of Life. How is that going, or how did that go?
Oh my god, it's going absolutely wonderfully. It's honestly one of my favorite venues, and you know, the people who come there, they aren't just coming to chat and eat, they're coming for the music. And it's absolutely wonderful to be in a room full of like-minded people, full of people who appreciate the music, the artists, and it's absolutely wonderful to see, and wonderful to be a part of as well. I still do it. I'm there every month. I've actually got one coming up, a show at the Spice of Life on the 23rd of February, and that's basically the launch show for Bite Me, which is the first song off of my EP that is being released, and actually, you know, if you wanted, you could come along to that as a guest. I'd be really happy to see you there.
Oh, amazing.
And yeah, there's tickets on my website if anyone's interested, amity.music, because our shows are a lot of fun. Like, we've got a band, you know, it may be all originals, but it's like quite a wide range of genres, and we've got stuff from more ballady type things to some more rocky indie stuff, and it's really, really fun, not just to perform but also to be there, so I'd really love to see some of you there.
It sounds like an awesome night. And also, you're not competing. Because sometimes, as you probably know, when you do a gig, you can be competing with the audience who seem to be having a good old chat while you're trying to play. But as you said there, they're people that appreciate music. So it's like you can have a pin drop moment when it's just you and the keys.
It's quite beautiful. Because I've played in quite a lot of venues, and you know, one of the best things is a respectful and engaged audience, and it's absolutely lovely to see people who really appreciate the art, because music is art, and it's amazing to be able to share that with people. It's like bearing your soul. It's really vulnerable, but it's also that connection, and it's one of the most beautiful things, I think.
What lyric are you most proud of writing? And I did ask you this off air to give you a chance to have a little think. So what lyric and what song is it for you that you just went, I've written that lyric, I'm really proud of that, I'm, you know, it's one of my best?
Well, lyrics are actually quite a big thing for me. I really pride myself on my lyricism. And I've got quite a lot of songs where, I don't know if you ever listen to a song and think, God, I wish I wrote that lyric.
Yes, all the time.
Yeah, I call it lyric envy. Sometimes I think to myself, God, I wish I'd written that lyric. And then I'm like, wait, hang on, I think I did write that lyric. And I've got quite a few songs that have lyrics that I'm especially proud of. But when you ask that question, like, a couple come to mind. The first one is To Be Known, which is actually on the EP that's coming out. And the opening line is, I am used to being loved oh so fiercely, it leaves bruises to bloom on my skin. And then there's also Ragdoll, which I wrote when I was 14. It actually ended up in The Guardian, and it's still one of my favourites to this day. There's a big breakdown at the end of the song. The rest of the song feels quite defeated, and, you know, I've given in to, because it's about an abusive relationship I was in, and it feels like, you know, I've given in to this person, and then suddenly there's a breakdown where the lyrics go, I will never be enough for you, no matter what I say or do, you still need more of me, excessive quantities, obsessive fantasies are rotting your sanity, would it be enough if I lay silently, or maybe worshipped you like a deity, if I just sat there feigning apathy, and let you tip your poison into me, force it down my throat, into my bloodstream, but I won't go so quietly, no, I can't go that quietly.
Wow. Now, I'm writing those lyrics down myself. I have lyric envy. that's fabulous. Now, you've got so many, The Guardian, BBC Radio, the Royal Albert Hall, who said you captivated the whole hall from start to finish. David Grant, MBE, just so many people saying amazing things about you. How does that feel? Does it feel sometimes a bit overwhelming? Because it's what people dream of if they're a musician.
Yeah, honestly, it feels surreal, because I've never been the best at accepting praise and compliments, and suddenly it's all like pouring in, and I have no idea what to do with it. So I'm a little bit in denial, actually, because I still haven't processed that I am where I am today, despite being very, very grateful for it. And it's all just like so, you know, it's kind of terrifying, but in the best way possible, I think. And I honestly, I'm so grateful for everyone who's helped me get to where I am. I'm really grateful for everyone who's told me to keep going, because, you know, I do, despite not being able to really know how to respond, I do need that kind of encouragement, and I'm really, really grateful that people, you know, saw something in me enough to tell me, hey, you know, I think this is great, please keep going, because it's really inspiring, because what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to reach people, I'm trying to connect, I'm trying to help people, and, you know, it really means a lot to me when people tell me, hey, this connected with me, thank you.
Tell us about your own personal journey, and you can tell us as much or as little as you want to.
Well, like I said, I started writing songs when I was 9, and it kind of all started there. And ever since I wrote that first song in that restaurant with crayon on a napkin, I didn't stop. I started writing more and more songs as I got older, and they started getting better and better. And, you know, it was really, really nice to be able to express myself in that way. And then lockdown hit, and I had a massive breakdown. I was diagnosed as autistic. I was diagnosed with complex PTSD. And it was a really difficult time for me. And even when restrictions lifted, I couldn't step foot in a classroom without having a breakdown. I was a shell of myself, and it was horrible. And my parents realized that the only time they got their child back was after I'd performed, and for a few days I'd be myself again. And they realized they couldn't just sit around waiting for performances to come to us. We had to seek them out. And so they started taking me to open mics, and things happened so quickly from there, because it suddenly wasn't just about my own catharsis anymore. It was about bringing hope and light to other people as well. And that brought me back to myself, I think. And so we kept going and we kept going. And within a few weeks, a couple of months, I'd been written about in The Guardian. I was getting calls from TV shows like Britain's Got Talent, America's Got Talent. Later on, I got, you know, a call from The Voice, The Piano. And it was all absolutely insane. And I started performing on bigger and bigger stages. And of course, that took me all the way to the Royal Albert Hall, which was, oh my God, it was one of the most incredible things to be heard and be understood and, you know, seen by so many people, and to have them connect and resonate. And it was just insane. And of course, now I've got music coming out. I've got my own show at the Royal Albert Hall in the Elgar Room on the 15th of July. And everything's just kind of kicking off. So it's really, really exciting. And I'm so grateful for even the bad parts of the journey that got me here, because I don't think I'd be where I am today without them. So, yeah.
And you wouldn't be the person you are today without those experiences. And well done to your mum and dad as well for, you know, being really supportive, because that has got to be, that must have helped so much.
It really does. It's, my parents are, I think, some of my biggest fans, and they really help me. When I'm unmotivated, they push me to, you know, try and bring myself back a bit, because I need that sometimes. I need to be able to know when to keep going, and they help me keep going a lot of the time. And they help me with shows, they help me with pretty much everything, and they're my biggest support. So a big shout out to my parents. Thank you, I love you.
Oh, I bet they've got tears in their eyes now. They'll be getting little tissues, wipe the tears away. Now, you said the debut, is it an album or EP?
It's an EP.
So that's out in July, isn't it? And you're also going to be playing at the Royal Albert Hall. What a dream. So what can people expect from the EP?
Well, the first track from it actually comes out on the 21st of February. It's Bite Me. And we're going to be releasing all the songs in due course, every few weeks. So like every 6 weeks, there's going to be one more song out until July, which is when the big show at the Royal Albert Hall hits. It's all really exciting. And so from the EP, people can expect, like, so for Bite Me, it's a bit of a commentary on blurred lines in society, and how things, because social media and other things like that, they kind of are training our brains to really see things in a black and white perspective, whereas things are so much more nuanced than they seem. So it's about blurred lines and nuances. It's also about why people stay and like miss their abusers, because I, like I mentioned, I was stuck in an abusive relationship for a long time, and a lot of people don't understand why it happens or why people stay, and I wanted to just touch on that in the song, and because I think it's something that really needs to be talked about. So it's kind of like a multifaceted song. The rest of the songs, Hurricane Heart, Ephemeral, To Be Known, they're all quite different, but also they have, what would you say? I think I'd say they have like similar voices to them. And they're all about love, abuse, and escape from those things. It's about how to really find the strength in yourself to realize that you deserve to be loved in a healthy way, and you deserve to feel that strength and hope.
It's been wonderful to chat to you, Amity. Hopefully I'll get to come and see you at the iconic Spice of Life. And yeah, would you like to introduce your track? Because it's called Bite Me. I'm going to end the interview with it. Wish you all the best, and hopefully we'll get you in here one day to come and do some live stuff. It'd be amazing.
Thank you so much.
And if you want to find out more, it's Amity. What's the website?
My website is amity.music, and I'm also Amity Sings on social media. If anyone would like to come and follow me, that'd be really greatly appreciated, because any support is absolutely wonderful.
Excellent support, independent music. That's what we like to hear. So this is Amity, and the track is called Bite Me. Have a great day. Thank you so much for chatting.
Thank you. It's been lovely to talk to you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
What's the difference? Unpredictable and dangerous. Are conflated, amalgamated with afraid. And what's the difference? This existence and reality are both verging upon merging with a dream. And where do devils end and gods begin? Where do you draw the line when both are thirsty, craving for blood sacrifice? Bite me, I must be dreaming. Tear my flesh clean off the bone. Why is it so relieving to melt in mouths like honeycomb? Bite me, 'cause I'm still reeling. Ground me with your sharp embrace. How are you so deceiving that your hands round my neck still feel like home? Between head